you're standing, we're going to go into our Bible study at this time, and I want to look in the book of Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse number 9. Ezekiel 46 and verse number 9. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord says, "But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast." Now, I just believe, and we can go a long way on this, but it's not the subject matter for tonight. But, however, I believe that every time we come together in the house of God, it is a solemn feast. That the Lord has something to feed us. "He that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship." I want you to see this. "He that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate." In other words, you're going to come in the north gate, but you are to leave after worshiping God. You are to leave out of the south gate. "And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it." And so it is. I want to talk about a simple subject tonight, and that is shout to shine. Shout to shine. Amen. Now, we never worship God to show off. We never shout to make a spectacle of ourselves. In the history of this church, I can name only, and I can't name, I don't remember their name, but I can only remember one individual that's ever done that in this church. And if you can, you probably remember me rebuking him sometimes in services. It's the truth. Amen. When we were listening like this and preparing ourselves for the Word of God, he was back there going, and then when we would all come to the altar to worship God, he would go home. And then other times when we were like this and solemn and everybody was together in one mind, one accord. You know what I'm saying? He would march all the way down to the front and lay in the floor and wallow around. And finally I went and told him, I said, "Look, you're going to have to go back to your seat." He got mad that quick. He lost his Holy Ghost. It must have been about that deep. Amen. I mean, if he was in some kind of Holy Ghost trance, I couldn't have awakened him. But he immediately looked at me and almost snarled and said, "I'm worshiping God." I said, "Why don't you worship when everybody else does? Why don't you pray when everybody else does?" I said, "In a few minutes, I'm going to give an altar call, and everybody's going to come to the altar." And I said, "You're going to go home." He said, "Phew." I don't know where he's at tonight, but he needed that. We need to flow in harmony. But what I'm getting at is we don't shout to shine for ourselves. We don't worship God to bring attention to ourselves. Amen? We just follow the Lord. And when we follow the Lord, he wants everybody to go at the same time. I just believe that. When the fire led the children of Israel at night through the wilderness, I don't believe people could lag back if they wanted to and then catch up the next few days. I believe it was time for everybody to move. Well, I'm not going to go there. There's something up here about this. I'm trying to be funny. You guys are taking it too serious. But anyway, we don't shout to shine for ourselves. But we do shout to shine. And that is, we want to shine as much as possible for Jesus Christ. I remember preaching a message as we evangelize. Maybe I need to preach it here. But I preached tryouts for a permanent position. And in that message, it was like the Lord is crying out for those that will worship him in two ways. Spirit and truth. Amen. There are people that worship him in spirit. Then there are others that worship him in truth. But when spirit and truth come together, that's what the Lord wants. And so he is literally looking for people that will shout. He's looking for people that will shine. But not for themselves, but for him and for his glory and for his honor. That's what I desire tonight. How about you? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you ever want me to bust out and be unusual and apart from everybody else, please, please, I'm begging you, let it be you. Hallelujah. All right. Lord, we're praying for your help. We're praying for your hope. We're praying for your strength, and we're praying for your anointing. And we ask you, Lord, to lead us tonight and direct us in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that this Bible study, some way, shape, manner, or form, will be a blessing to somebody. Lord, we need your leadership. We need your guidance and direction, and we need the Word. And I pray, God, that you would help us in Jesus' name. God bless you as you are seated just now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In an hour of emotional and physical and spiritual illusion, there is a way the church can stay completely focused. Amen. Can I ask a personal question? Is there someone here today that came tonight because you need a personal touch from God? Just raise your hand. You just need something personal, something great and strong from God. Okay, all right. Amen. Maybe I was wrong. I'm sorry. In an hour of emotional, physical, and spiritual illusion, there's a way the church can stay completely focused. Praise God. Amen. Now, the word focus, when we are completely focused on the Spirit, completely focused on the presence of God, then there is no room. We will not suffer from optical illusion. We will not suffer from that. But we will see the very finger of God. And that's what we need in this day and time. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of things going on out there. Amen. But the truth is still out there amongst all of the stuff. And amongst all of that, then our prayer, our worship, our attendance to church, everything we do needs to be focused on the truth of God's Word. I don't want to ever be given over by the Lord to false doctrine. And it can happen. I don't want God to give me over to an illusion. I don't want God to give me over to a lie. The Word of God. Now, read your Word. I'm just telling you that it can happen. That how can I say this? It's probably not a word, but it makes sense. You can dislove God so much and to the point that He will just give you over to a lie. He'll give you over to a reprobate mind, and the Spirit of the Lord won't even be able to touch you. That's strong words, isn't it? But they didn't come from me. They came from God. And so we need to understand, and we need to learn tonight that it's Jesus Christ or nothing else. We can sit in an apostolic church and be completely lost and really not even know it, because we don't have a focus. Our focus is not right. Oh, we're 50%, or we're 30%, or we're 80%, or 99.9%. Amen. I don't know how husbands out there feel about your wives, but I wouldn't want that one to be 99.9%. She wouldn't want her husband to be 99.9%. It's 100%, or we're going to go see a judge. And that's the way everyone should feel. And that's the way everyone should operate. Brother, you can feel welcome to take her and whatever. She's just learning. Amen. She's trying to shout and shine. Now, when I said take her out, I didn't mean take her out. Just outside. Praise the Lord. Amen. So everybody say the word focus. Praise God. And that's what I want us to be. I really do. Amen. Now, it's a pastor's business to be concerned about the sheep. it's the pastor's business to be concerned about the people. I'll be honest with you. There's been some things said by preachers behind this pulpit that I didn't appreciate, that I wanted to pull their little coattail and say, look, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't live here. We just recently had a preacher, and he said, what do you do when you knock on doors and you don't see any response? What do you do when you go out and pass out tracts and you don't see any response? Hello, dude. We started with 12. Don't come to Landmark telling us we don't get response when we witness and teach Bible study and pray and fast and seek God. You come back Sunday night, I'll show you some good response. And so, you know, when an evangelist comes, that's what I want him to do, be an evangelist. I'll be the pastor. And so tonight the pastor has come home. And tonight the subject is to focus. And that's exactly what we need to do. Listen, we can't visit the church and expect all the power of the kingdom of God to hit us between the eyes and then go back out in the world and do worldly things. Amen. Because that's not true focus. And it concerns me. It honestly does. When we lose our focus, even sometimes before service in prayer, the least little things can just knock us right out of a prayer meeting. And we begin to give that blank stare to little kids that are passing candy or laughing or running back and forth. Or we see a friend come in the door and we stare at them and watch where they're going to walk and sit. And 20, 25 minutes pass and we haven't said anything at all to God. All I'm saying is that is not focus. It's not focus. Amen. When you step into a prayer meeting of an apostolic nature, you should never be able to hear a pin drop. Never. And the giggling and the fellowship should never be louder than the prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it is. And I promise you, I'll give you a 110% commitment that everything that I say to you ever is also being said to myself as well. Because the Word of God says if you save others, you're going to save yourself. Because when you're saving others, you're digging for it. You're praying for it. You're seeking God for it. And while you're praying and you're seeking and you're digging, you're also saving yourself. That's the way that works. And so I would never preach anything to you that I wouldn't preach to myself or teach. Amen. And since I've asked the Lord to bless my preaching, my teaching, and my reaching, I think it's gotten a little more firm. I think it's gotten a little more pastoral and authoritative. But that's all right with me, because there's some folks here that want to be saved and they want to hear what's got to be done. Amen. Amen. There are people that attend our church but are not here tonight, not because they're sick and not because they're working a job or it's because of lust. They've tagged in with a partner and that partner's pulled them out and they're going to be out for a while now and doing whatever they do when you're full of lust. And they're going to lose time with God. They're going to lose blessings with God. They're going to lose some anointing. They're going to lose a whole lot of dominion over the devil. And they're going to come back and they're going to be just as depressed as they were the last time they were pulled out by lust. Years are going to be wasted. Months are going to be wasted. Do you hear what I'm saying? When if they had been focused, when that other individual had come along to pull them out, they would have been able to point a finger of rebuke and been able to say, get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ. There's something better than you are coming down the road for me, and I'm just going to wait right here in the center of the will of God until that gets here. And when you say things like that, the miracle comes right down the road. You are focused. I want us to understand that focus on God is going to bring real praise to God. It's going to bring real worship to God. And when we have real praise and real worship, that's when we shine. And when you shine, the right people are going to see you. The right individuals are going to see you. God is going to see you. Doors are going to open for you. All manner of things are going to happen for you. If we can keep our focus and shine,
for the glory of God.
I constantly challenge our young people all the time not to trade your long-term goals for a short-term excursion. Amen. Praise God. We've got beautiful young ladies. We've got handsome young men. One day they will marry. It's going to happen. And it's natural. But listen, you don't have to marry any old thing that comes along just because he offers you a joyride. You don't have to accept anything that comes along. You know, some people look in the mirror and they think they're so ugly. I want to tell you something. There's folks out there uglier than you. Amen. There's a match for anybody out there because the Lord has seen to it. There's a match for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking right here tonight, there's not a soul in this building that's ugly. But you'd be surprised at the people that look at themselves in the mirror and say, "You are so ugly." Why don't you look at yourself like God does when you're full of the Holy Ghost? You don't have to accept anything that comes along. You don't have to accept anything that's trying to scoop you off of your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. God's got great things for you. And there are people here tonight that can testify to what Pastor's saying because they took heed to his advice. They waited and God sent Prince Charming or God sent Cinderella. And it worked and it happened. And there's a happy marriage and happy families because of that. But there are also disasters that have happened at Landmark because they refused to listen and they took off with this one or they took off with that one. They hooked up with this and they hooked up with that. And it didn't work. It just went, and there were abusers and misusers and all of, do you hear what I'm saying? All we need to do, I'm telling you, it is as simple as all, is that tonight we need to look up toward heaven and say, "I want to focus on you." Amen. Why do you say that? I'm saying that because the Word of God says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of these other things will be added unto you." Amen. You want a better job. You want more money. You want a handsome husband, a good-looking wife. You want a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever. Amen. Listen, look unto Him. Look unto Him. Focus on Jesus and let the Holy Ghost do its work. It all takes just simple. It's simple. 100% focus. Praise God. Amen. Don't suffer optical illusion. Somebody's famous last words, "Oh, I'm going to win them to God." Amen. Don't get your opinion mixed up with the voice of God. Sometimes we let our opinions weigh so much over what God thinks and how God feels. Amen. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth. John 4, the Bible said, "The hour's come and now is that the true worshipers shall worship Him in spirit and in truth." If any given direction you pursue conflicts with Scripture, you are wrong and you are in error and you are incorrect. We need greater faith than that. We need faith in God. Amen? He said, to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why in Leviticus, the Lord set the point for the New Testament church right at the beginning. He said, don't plow your garden or your field or your crops with an ox on one side of the yoke and a mule on the other side of the yoke. Because I don't want things unequally yoked. Hallelujah. There are people out there will misuse you. People out there will abuse you and mistreat you. Amen. I've got sisters. My mother for the longest. And I don't have anything at all whatsoever against any kind of culture. Nothing. There is nobody in this world that is unprejudiced as I am. I am not a prejudiced individual. But I watched my sisters get abused just for a green card. I watched my mother get abused just for a green card. You go visit them and you don't see him anywhere except when it's sex time, except when it's welfare check time. That's when you see. And they were abused and they were misused. There's great people out there that come across the border and become great citizens. Some of the hardest workers we have in America today are Spanish. Amen. But some of the laziest white people, some of the laziest people are white. Some of the laziest people are black. Some of the laziest people are Asian. Some of the laziest people are all three in one. Amen. I'm just saying tonight. But I grew up seeing that. I remember one day my mother called and she said, "Kenny, you've got a new dad." I said, 1, 2, 3, 4. Which one is it? I said, "Good. All right. Praise the Lord." You know. And so that's just the way it was. Hey, listen, our apostolic young ladies, our apostolic young men, they deserve the best. They deserve the best. They deserve what God is going to offer. They deserve peace. They deserve happiness. They deserve joy. They deserve the anointing of God. They deserve the power of God. They deserve the presence of God. Hallelujah. And the only way you're going to lose that is to lose focus. Amen. If any given direction that you pursue conflicts the Scripture, you're wrong. He said to be not unequally yoked. Amen. Praise God. He doesn't want two different people working against each other because you will not accomplish anything. Amen. Now, there's no one here that does not want to be used of God, or you wouldn't be here for Bible study. You'd be here for the Sunday morning fluff, and then you'd be here Sunday night for the stuff. But tonight you're here to learn and to grow and to stretch. And so I can literally say, I don't think there's anybody here that does not and would not want to be used of God. With that being said, ministry does not come without relationship. In other words, you can go to Brother Brown and say, "I want to be a Sunday school teacher." And Brother Brown would say, "Be here Sunday morning." And then Sunday morning is the only time you ever came to church. I don't care how many kids loved you. I don't care how many kids respect you, care for you. You're not going to be a good Sunday school teacher because you're not focused. You got what you wanted, and that's all you wanted. You wanted to teach Sunday school over your relationship with God. But see, what you don't understand is that you can't have ministry without relationship. So you develop relationship with God first. That's one of the first things Brother Brown's going to ask you. How are you doing with God? Where were you Saturday night? Where were you Sunday night? Where were you Tuesday night? Then you're going to get all huffy and puffy. "Well, you ought to be thankful that I even want to be a Sunday school." No, no, we don't play that game. First Baptist might, but we don't play that. No. No, we're asking for the Levites to step up. We're asking for the tribe of Judah to step up. The ones that constantly give him praise. The ones that are hauling the Ark of the Covenant. The ones that are carrying the presence of the Lord. That's the ones that are going to get into ministry. That's the ones that are going to... The ones that are focused. The ones that live it, give it, and love it. And it's everything to you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 46. Worship. Coming in the south gate, leave by the north gate. If you come in by the north gate, you got to leave by the south gate. What the message is that he shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in. In other words, if you will worship him when you come in, you will not leave the same. You may come to the altar and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved," and stand there like a piece of dead wood. I don't care what I do for you, you're going to get nothing. I've had people do that. They came and stood right there, and I prayed for their salvation. They never said a word. They never lifted their hands. They looked straight down. And when I got done, they said, "I don't feel anything." I did. You know why I did? Because I worshiped. Because I gave it faith. Because I said something. I'm just challenging you. If you ever want to get anything from God, the Bible says, come boldly. In other words, don't come down here like a coward. Don't come down here frightened. Don't come down here afraid. But you come down here with your hands ready to be lifted. You come down here ready to praise Him. You come down here ready to vocalize, I need you, Jesus. I want you, Lord. I've got to have you. I'm sorry for my sins. I need forgiveness. I need deliverance. And when you begin to cry out to God, the Spirit of the Lord will come into you and you will leave. Even though you came in the north gate, you will leave the south gate. If you come in the south gate, you're going to leave the north gate, because you're not going to be the same person that you were when you came. Somebody help me praise Him right now. I'm getting through to somebody. I'm getting through to somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we praise Him, we raise Him. And when we raise Him, He's going to raise us with Him. Hallelujah. It's focus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is something here tonight that is stronger than you are. It's stronger than false doctrine. It's stronger than deceit, sickness. It's stronger than death. It's stronger than insecurity, carnality, lust. Amen. If you can shout with true worship, then you can shine. But if you want to withhold true worship, you want to sit down on your true praise and just sit there and mope and gloat and just stare and just, then nothing is ever going to happen. Somebody said, is it the definition of insanity is to do the same thing you've always done and to expect change? You don't do the same thing you've always done and expect change. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to shout and shine. It's time to shout and shine. Praise the Lord. These people aren't clapping their hands because they're hand clappers. They're not saying amen and hallelujah because they're trained to say amen and hallelujah. They're clapping their hands. They're shouting amen. They're saying hallelujah because they want change. And they know, they have learned in the process of time, that we get change when we worship God. We get change. We get strength. We get anointing. And we get power and authority when we praise and when we worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I want somebody to leave here polished by the presence of God and shining with new direction, full of freedom, free from sin, liberated from lust, justified by Jesus, born again of water and spirit. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. Somebody shout continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. David, what have you learned? I've learned that no matter what state I'm in, that if I can just praise Him, that everything's going to be all right. If I can just praise Him, if I can just raise Him, if I can just worship Him one more time, everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Gideon won the battle against the Midianites without firing a shot. They shouted and then they shined. They carried the sword. Somebody cried, the sword of the Lord, and held up lamps. And there was no sword at all. Maybe there was. Maybe it was worship. Maybe they were looking for a silver glittering piece of iron or whatever a sword is made of. Amen. But what they got was a shout from the people of God, and it was more lethal than a sword that night.
Maybe our sword is our shout. Maybe our weapon is our worship. Is that the way that the battle is won? You want somebody to testify. Okay, here we go. How many of you have won the victory on Monday because you shouted on Sunday? Oh, Lord, the sword of Gideon. Oh, no, the sword of Gideon. The sword of the Lord. Hallelujah! Woo! You ought to try shouting one time anyway, because I'm telling you, it feels so good. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Lift up your heart in victory. I will never be able to talk you into it. Just do it. If you ever do, you better watch out. You better look out, Satan, look out. Because we're coming to you in the name of the Lord. And victory, victory is on the way. Shout, worship, praise, shining for the glory of God. Joshua won the battle at Jericho, not because they kept their mouth shut and because they marched, but because they shouted and because they worshiped. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why was he so glad? Because it wasn't that long ago that for 10 generations, the Spirit of the Lord was nowhere. But when David began to dance and the Ark of the Covenant made its way back home, all of a sudden the glory of God has come again. David raises up a tent. He's so in a hurry to have church, he puts it in a tent. And for 30 years they had apostolic church. For 30 years they danced. For 30 years they shouted. For 30 years the Holy Ghost was in the temple. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the temple tonight. I feel the power of God in the temple tonight. Amen. Somebody ought to leap like David would leap. Somebody ought to dance like David would dance. Just remain standing. The sacrifice of praise, it isn't your hands, it isn't your voice. The sacrifice to praise is me. It's my feet, it's my legs, it's my arms, it's my voice, it's my hands, it's my spirit, it's my mind, it's my soul, it's my lips, it's my tongue, it's my vocal cords. Somebody shout hallelujah! I cannot give you victory, but you can take the victory with your praise! That's why this first church and that second reform and that third reform and that church, there's no praise in there, because the devil doesn't mind how many churches are built. Just don't let there be any praise. Woo! But I've got news for the devil tonight. As long as there's a landmark in Lexington, there shall be praise. There's going to be praise in the north gate. There's going to be praise in the south gate. There's going to be praise in the west gate and the east gate. As long as there's a landmark, there shall be praise. Somebody step out and focus. Somebody step out and focus. Oh, yeah. I learned something tonight. I caught hold of something tonight. Woo. Devil, you can have my house. You can have my car. You can have my help. But you can't have my praise. My praise, my worship is not for sale. At any cost.